Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, sports fans, don't skip ahead just yet. I got to tell you about the Shadow Docket bonus show on our Patreon page. As you may or may not know, the Bob Seska Show is almost entirely fueled by our Patreon subscribers, and we couldn't do 4+ shows a week without their generous financial support. If you dig what you hear today, please consider signing up for our Shadow Docket bonus show every Tuesday and Thursday for just $5 per month. It used to be called the Postmortem Show, but with the support of our existing subscribers, we changed the name to The Shadow Docket. Same show, same exclusive content, but an all-new name. Again, that's $5 per month at BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Hi, Bob. Oh,
hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
The Bob Seska Show.
Another week. Here we go from our nation's capital. It is Tuesday, October 5, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how you doing? What's up? What's happening? How's it going? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Oh, hi. Day 259 of the Biden-Harris administration, 400 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And here he comes, my friend Buzz.
Yeah. Buzz Burbank.
Buzz Burbank.
You
yeah.
said it all.
Hello.
Algorithm is gonna get you. Algorithm is gonna get you. Oh, hi.
Hi. Hello. That's great.
I hadn't put on my headphones yet. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Well, here we are, and he's Bob, I'm Buzz, and we're not sure how this happened, but we now have custody of Britney Spears.
Yes.
I don't know.
In the other room right now, she's having a cup of coffee in the kitchen.
I don't remember the paperwork on that. In COVID news this week, the pharmaceutical giant Merck announced a pill to keep you from getting super sick from COVID.
Great.
In a stroke of marketing genius, Merck plans to make the pill apple-flavored and stock it in feed stores.
See, they're already really thinking. They're way ahead
always
of those guys.
Thinking. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh tested positive for COVID.
Oh.
He had been vaccinated, and that has doctors wondering, who paid off his mortgage? The Postal Service intentionally slowed service this week while at the same time raising prices under Postmaster General Louis DeJoy.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of thing would never happen if the Democrats were in charge.
Well, look, that's a whole other thing. Holy God.
Oh, God. And our smartphones have gotten really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whenever news pops up about Kyrsten Sinema, my phone automatically switches to dark mode. That's genius. And of course, another big black oil spill off Southern California.
Oh, God damn it.
They've now pinpointed the source.
Yeah.
Rudy Giuliani's sideburns.
The Bob Seska Show.
Yep, here he comes. Another week with Rocky Mountain Mike.
Got a call from an old friend. He used to be real gross. Said he couldn't go on the Republican way. Sold his truck, his red hat, only eats avocado toast.
Good.
Stephanie show from LA.
This show too. Listens to both our shows because they're both great, right?
That's right. That's right.
I need you to tell me your lies from the old right. I don't care. You insist that Joe Biden go home. I don't care what you say anymore. It's the big lie. Go ahead with your orange lies. Throw me a bone.
Still my favorite part.
Shove it up your ass, the big lie. Yes.
All right.
Rocky Mountain Mike, Rocky underscore Mountain underscore Mike on Instagram. And
that is one of his classics. That's one of his masterpieces.
Oh, yes. That's why I played it a second time. I love it so much. And you know what? Speaking of Instagram, we got to talk about Facebook. I think the bulk of this first segment is going to be about Facebook. And I want to get into everything that happened yesterday. I want to get into Frances Haugen's testimony, which is underway right now as we record this. I have a little bit of her opening statement here that we can play.
Good.
Plus her appearance on 60 Minutes. Oh, my God. Just blowing the roof off of Facebook. It's just amazing what one person can achieve. Well, before we get into Facebook. I had a little back and forth with Andrew Yang yesterday.
A little yin and yang.
Yeah, because everyone knows I'm a member of the Yang Gang. I'm kidding, of course.
You have the badge on the membership card?
No way. Not a chance in hell. Well, yesterday I noticed while Facebook was down, it gave me an opportunity to check out what Andrew Yang was tweeting. What he's talking about is Andrew Yang is leaving the Democratic Party, forming his own party, just to cut right to the chase, Buzz. The name of the party is the Forward Party, and the name of Andrew Yang's new book that he's promoting is called Forward. Congratulations, Andrew Yang. You are
what
now confirming everything we thought about you being a grifter.
It's all about the marketing.
God damn it. Yeah, he's doing a tie-in political party to tie in with his book. Well, that's a brand new thing, I think, on the political stage, isn't it?
Maybe this time we'll get one delegate. Who knows?
Well, so he tweeted this. You know what I find odd? People accusing someone of making a decision like this out of opportunism while demonstrating that the opposite is probably true. And then I said, oh, please, your new party carries the same name as your new book, what I said back in my quote tweet.
The thing he tweeted, it was almost as if he was tweeting that to you because you're that guy.
Yes. And if he hadn't, I would have taken it that way anyway, because I'm super duper paranoid. I'm like, oh, why is Andrew Yang talking directly to me through Twitter? Remember those people on Radio Buzz who would call you up and say, why are you sending me secret messages over the radio? And
I didn't get those calls. I let the DJs field those calls. I was in the newsroom where it was safe.
That's amazing, because I would get several of them, just through the course of a regular year. And I was in broadcast radio, for a very short period of time. Anyway, so Andrew Yang replied to my quote tweet, where I accused him of grifting and creating a political party that carries the same name as his brand new book. And he said, oh, Bob, I would probably sell more books as a Democrat, don't you think? He said. And I said back to him almost right away, because he stepped right into it. He stepped right into his own propeller. He made this. I said, well, you know, Andrew, more people identify as independents than as Democrats. And so that was my response. Yeah. And that's true. I mean, if you want to sell books, you identify as an independent because there are more self-identified independents in this country. You don't sell more books as a Democrat necessarily.
It's a wider market. And one of the reasons the media does the both sides thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you for stepping right into that one. Made it very, very easy. And that eliminated that line of discussion. Pretty much crickets chirping after that. So I was satisfied.
He'll sit down and think about what he's done.
Yeah, exactly. My regret, though, you know, this always happens. I tweet something. It goes out there. It goes kind of viral. And I'm like, shit, why didn't I include this one thing in that tweet? It would have made it even better. And I should have said hashtag math. Yeah. You know, because...
Well, yeah, oh, yeah, that's good. You still could. It's not too late. It's not too late. You could taunt him in that way.
Well, needless to say, I'm still getting trolled by some Yang Gang members on Twitter. I mean, it's so obvious. I mean, this guy from day one, from the first time I laid eyes on him in one of those Democratic debates from 12 years ago or whatever it was. It was a year and a half ago, but it's still, it seems like 12 years ago. I was thinking, okay, come on. He and Marianne Williamson. I was like, political tourists. Go away, political tourists. We don't need any more political tourists. We see what political tourism has done to the presidency and to the country. Stop doing that.
When he ran for president, or tried to, I gave him a listen. I thought, well, you know, I don't know anything about this guy. I'll listen to what he has to say.
Yeah.
And some of it appealed to me, but it quickly became apparent that this is not his game. This is not politics and governing are not his thing.
No. But needless to say, I mean, as far as political tourism goes, that gets amplified a lot on Facebook, and Facebook has been... sort of, you know, there was a question that came up yesterday during the 5-6 hour outage that occurred in the wake of Francis Haugen's 60 Minutes appearance. And someone said, what do you think has destroyed America more, Fox News or Facebook?
Right.
And my response, at least, I don't know where you land on this, Buzz, but I said Roger Ailes created the chaos and Facebook just amplified it. That's been the trend. Yeah.
And spread it and distributed it more widely.
Yeah.
They're equally evil in my opinion. I remember recently you were coaxing me to get on Instagram, and I have even less interest in doing that now than I did at the time.
Yeah,
and I did give some thought yesterday for over 5.5 hours. Colors were brighter. Food tasted better. there was peace. It was a sort of a sense of peace.
Temporary sanity washing over the world, right?
And so many of us wondered, well, maybe this is it.
Maybe it's
gone. You know, conspiracy theorists like myself proposed that maybe Facebook was using this downtime to retool things.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't appear to be the case. It appears that Facebook couldn't even get into their own servers to do anything.
Yeah.
So more than likely, it was just a major screw up on their part.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened at a lovely time, didn't it? Because it was the day after the whistleblower identified herself and came forward with details on 60 Minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as you said, she's been testifying today on Capitol Hill. So we might be getting somewhere on this. Facebook, I hope, will somehow, if by no other means than public opinion, be forced to change.
Yeah. And the outage was a great exclamation mark on Francis Haugen's 60 Minutes piece. Sunday night. And speaking as someone who has a mostly political presence on Facebook, I know that perhaps in some tangential way, I could be part of the problem. I mean, I could be some of that political content that they're amplifying to stir up angst and rage in people. And I don't know that I necessarily do that. I kind of just promote this show. I mean, that's essentially it. And the show happens to be political. So I don't know where I would land on that. But one thing I was thinking about, Buzz, during that outage was I was kind of hoping, I mean, obviously on top of hoping that some hacker had completely deleted Facebook forever. I mean, that was my ultimate
hope.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. But I was thinking, too, that if it was Facebook that had taken its own platform down, if that was the possibility, I was thinking, I hope they're using this time to delete all political content off Facebook.
Yeah, other people were concerned that they were destroying records in that period of time that may be called as evidence.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's entirely possible. It's entirely possible that that's what's going on because
it is.
Yeah.
But less so after reading an explanation of. A guesstimation, I guess, by the tech editor at The Guardian.
Yeah.
The Guardian, the British-based tabloid that has bureaus here in the U.S. and publishes a U.S. edition.
Mm-hmm.
They've long been critical of Facebook, so I tend to believe, and with evidence, and I tend to believe this, but he came out with an explanation today on what he believes actually happened. And it's I liked it because it was something even I, a layperson, could understand. You don't
yes.
have to be a computer programmer to get it.
What's kind of the general gist? I think it didn't have something to do with their domain name and their DNS server or something like that.
The shortest version is they locked themselves out. Would you like to hear this guy's explanation?
Yeah, let's hear a little bit of that.
Okay, I'll just race through it. A bunch of friends have texted me asking for a basic explanation as to what the hell happened to knock off all Facebooks. So Facebook, accidentally, we presume, sent an update to a deep-level routing protocol on the internet that said basically, hey, we don't have any servers anymore, XOXO.
And who hasn't done that at some point?
Right, exactly. Now, he says, Alex Hearn says, normally this would be quite easy to fix. You just send another update saying, oh, don't worry, we have servers, they're here, XOXO. Mm-hmm. Things still break. It takes a while for the message to spread to all corners of the internet. Egg on face, but livable. Mm-hmm. But Facebook runs everything through Facebook. So when its servers were booted off the internet, it also booted off the ability to send that follow-up message.
Whoops.
And the ability to log into the system that would send the follow-up message. And the ability to use the smart card door lock on the front door to the building that contains the servers that control the system that sends the follow-up message. And the messaging service you use to contact the head of physical security to tell them they need to hightail it to the data center out east with a physical key to override the smart card door lock on the front door. The end.
Jeez. Well,
they locked themselves out of the house.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping maybe there would be an arsonist involved in that as well. Yeah, I was thinking, at one point they were talking about someone was traveling out to the server center to try to physically reboot the servers. And I was hoping, oh my God, please, someone put super glue in the locks or something like
for the sake of the world. Ultimately, they realized they had to go find a metallic key to unlock that East Coast Center in order to get to the equipment to make everything right again.
Instructions. Well, I our friend Nick Lutzko was ready to turn Facebook into a Spirit Halloween pop-up store. That would have been great.
I saw those. Yeah, and, great memes.
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately, this was a self-inflicted problem that occurred yesterday. But again, it really called attention to
perfect timing
the crisis itself, which is that Facebook is duplicitous. Facebook is doing one thing behind the scenes and saying something else to to the public and to investors.
And according to this whistleblower, not for political reasons, for cash. They're doing it simply for profit. They're ignoring the threat for profit.
In and amongst all of this, and we were all talking about Facebook, ironically, on Twitter yesterday. By the way, Twitter spiking the football yesterday with a tweet along the lines of, hey, look, everybody's here now.
And literally everyone.
Yeah. And I said, don't get cocky. You could be next. But yeah, I mean, everyone was talking about how terrible Facebook is yesterday, and I still got several people in my mentions going, oh, come on, stop being so hard on Facebook. It's a great way to connect with family. Like, oh, come on. Yeah. What Frances Haugen and 60 Minutes were talking about the other night was literally genocide in Myanmar using Facebook to trigger a genocide, for God's sake. And people are still worried, oh, my God, what's going to happen to my food pictures?
I share a lot more stuff on Twitter these days. I don't go to Facebook much anymore. I still send out all my birthday greetings every day to anybody who's on my friends list who's having a birthday that day. And, I'll check for comments on things we've posted. But I mostly only use it now to promote this show, your show. If occasionally, if I have something that I put on Twitter that I like so much, I think it's worth repeating on Facebook, I'll copy it over there. But I just don't, and I don't. I never scroll the news feed. I don't go to people's pages. I maybe I should. I'm sorry. I just don't engage much with Facebook. Well, whatever means they're using don't work on me. And by the way, over the weekend, I recently collected some articles from the New York Times and the Washington Post on how to tighten up your security on various things, Google and Facebook among them. And so over the weekend, I had already, before everything went nuts, tightened down security at my end to make my use and my equipment safer.
Yeah, and in fact, if you're really, really interested in preserving what you've already posted on Facebook, I know a lot of people have you know, their entire lives photographed on Facebook. Here's the thing. Right. You can go to Facebook and you can download your entire history, including all of your photos. I strongly recommend that you do that because you never know day to day what may happen to Facebook. But more importantly, you never know what may happen to your account on Facebook. I mean, this is basically like saying, make sure to back up your hard drive is essentially what I'm saying.
So what are we going to keep promoting the show on Facebook?
Well, yes, of course. I mean,
and that's the tragic thing about the outage yesterday is it did hurt a lot of small businesses.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a bit of my personal contradiction is that I'm still on Facebook. I'm still promoting this show on Facebook. But you know what? That's pretty much it. I'm not doing anything else on Facebook because I'm just, it's the sad mall now. And in addition to being the sad mall, it's become this launching pad for all kinds of despotism and corruption and angst and rage and certainly all kinds of psychological problems. We're talking about eating disorders. We're talking about suicides. We're talking about bullying. We're talking about genocide. Facebook is amplifying all that crap and then lying about it.
And they've been called out now by a credible source who has documents to back it up. And I can't help but think that between public opinion and apparent possible congressional action, these days have come to an end, and we may start seeing Facebook correcting itself because they know the jig is up.
Yeah, and you know, going back to Twitter for a second, I do spend most of my time, at least social media time, on Twitter and secondarily Instagram, which is still a problem that I'm working through psychologically. Right. But with Twitter, the downside with Twitter is this. People don't click on podcasts and articles on Twitter the way they do on Facebook. And because I have this thing where I have a podcast and I have articles that I write and I want people to actually read them because it would be weird if we were doing these things and no one was reading or listening to them. And so Facebook is a better platform for moving people from that platform to your work. And that's certainly the case with me. Otherwise, I would exclusively be on Twitter with all of its downsides too, but I mean that's a separate story, and so that's kind
button.
Of why
edit button, really, you know, it's the a big edit thing button. With me.
Yeah. That's right. I wish there was an edit button among many other things, but suffice to say, I mean, that's why I still stick around on Facebook. I wish there was a way that I could have my cake and eat it too. I wish there was a way that I could protest Facebook. And I think I did in kind of a strange way. I deleted Facebook off of my phone. I guess that's a step.
Right.
I don't have it on my phone anymore.
Right, and taking some of those security steps, and you can Google for security steps to take for Facebook and for your phone and for Google itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I advise you to do that. It was pretty easy. I just sat down. I had several things to go through, Facebook, Google, and I don't remember something else, to make sure, you know, everything was secure. And I feel a lot better about things now. I'm not being tracked, and that's so the best way to continue if you want to or need to continue on Facebook is to take those steps so they can't use your data to develop these algorithms that are going to get you.
I mean, I think one of the Facebook defenders in my mentions yesterday were saying that I'm well aware of the misinformation. I avoid the misinformation. I don't share the misinformation. I'm like, well, it's not about you. Obviously, are millions of other people who are sharing this shit.
That's like saying I have a strong immune system. I don't need the shot.
Yeah, that's right.
You do need the shot.
I bring my own bags to the grocery store. Therefore, no one else needs to do anything with regard to the climate crisis. That's not
right.
That's not how we approach this shit.
Well, and I mentioned small business, businesses of all sizes, but especially small business, were badly hurt in that 5 hours of outage yesterday. And we know that about 65% of the people in, this is for Norm Macdonald, the world, 65% of the people in the world are on Facebook.
Yeah.
You can't get that kind of coverage anywhere else. And I guess that's why we stay. But like I said, the best offense in this case against Facebook is a good defense on our part.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of Frances Haugen's testimony from today. This is up on Capitol Hill. She's testifying. Obviously, I think it's on the Senate side. So let's listen to a little bit of this.
During my time at Facebook, first working as the lead product manager for civic misinformation and later on counter-espionage, I saw Facebook repeatedly encounter conflicts between its own profits and our safety. Facebook consistently resolved these conflicts in favor of its own profits. The result has been more division, more harm, more lies, more threats, and more combat. In some cases, this dangerous online talk has led to actual violence that harms and even kills people. This is not simply a matter of certain social media users being angry or unstable, or about one side being radicalized against the other. It is about Facebook choosing to grow at all costs, becoming an almost trillion-dollar company by buying its profits with our safety. During my time at Facebook, I came to realize a devastating truth. Almost no one outside of Facebook knows what happens inside of Facebook. The company intentionally hides vital information from the public, from the U.S. government, and from governments around the world. The documents I have provided to Congress prove that Facebook has repeatedly misled the public about what its own research reveals about the safety of children, the efficacy of its artificial intelligence systems, and its role in spreading divisive and extreme messages.
Yeah, and a lot of this has to do also with Instagram, going back to, yes. You know, because it's one of those platforms. Instagram, I enjoy Instagram only because it's, for me, it's a political-free zone. There's no politics. I don't follow anything that's politically oriented there. And I only seldom post political content on Instagram. So for me, the way my whole experience has been curated is a very non-political atmosphere on Instagram. Right. But at the same time, I'm going, yeah, but it's still Facebook. It's damaging teen girls who are, you know, getting sucked into this. I mean, we've talked about this on the show many, many times, Buzz, mm-hmm. with regard to the phony baloney bling lifestyle, the photoshopping and the cheap stunts that go on amplify someone's, you know, an influencer's reach and their status. And then normals see that and go, Why don't I have a private jet? Oh, shit. You know, and it just compounds the pain of life by seeing these phony baloney examples of, you know, people living the high life and sipping champagne in the, you know, in the Mediterranean and shit like that. There's a lot, in a lot of cases, is very much staged. It's all staged bullshit. So it's like, in order to reel that in, they would almost have to reinvent the entire platform. And the same goes with Facebook. I mean, I don't know how this gets bottled up other than maybe some sort of regulation that makes all these platforms into some sort of public utility where it's heavily regulated by the government. And you know what? I think Mark Zuckerberg is dragging Facebook toward that. As much as he protests that concept, I think he's making it possible. I think with every move, with every fuck up at Facebook, they make heavy government regulation as a public utility more and more likely, don't you think?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Psychologists know what Facebook knows, and that is that emotions are contagious. And that emotion range, of course, includes anger. Anger is contagious, and it's that contagion, that addiction that Facebook has been feeding on. It's very much like big tobacco in its behavior so far. And I would think, I would hope that someone at Facebook has tapped Zuckerberg on the shoulder and said, the jig is up. We've got to square up or they're going to just, you know, they're going to ruin us with regulations. And I think all of those things could happen. I think Facebook's going to lose some business over what happened yesterday. I think they're going to lose some advertisers because they're going to lose some more eyes. People were already suspicious of Facebook are more likely. I certainly gave serious thought yesterday to jumping off. I'm staying on for you, buddy. I know it's important. I know the reach it has. I know its importance to small business. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a way for families to connect. And if we can get it in line, and again, let me repeat this, because in your case, even with Instagram, the steps you take defensively is an offense against Facebook because it denies them the ability to manipulate us.
Yeah.
So I urge you and everyone to research and do these easy steps. It is step by step, show you how and where, what buttons to push to make this happen. I'm a little intimidated with Facebook because they make some of the things a little hard to find.
Yeah.
But these guides that you'll find, especially the ones from the big newspapers, I found to be very effective. And I have a great deal more peace of mind having inoculated my computers as well as myself.
Yeah, it was yesterday. It was kind of I'm glad you brought up Big Tobacco, because it was kind of their Jeffrey Wigand moment. If you've seen the movie The Insider with Russell Crowe and Al Pacino, this is one of those moments where one whistleblower steps forward and changes the entire ball game with testimony on 60 Minutes. And you know what? Look, just a brief moment for 60 Minutes here. In an age in which, you know, news is turned into sensationalism or turned into some sort of form of entertainment, 60 Minutes still rules the roost as far as strong, even-keeled, deep-cutting journalism. And hats off to, to 60 Minutes for that.
It was its old news magazine self on Sunday. Yeah. I have not watched the middle segment yet, but I also recommend the Lady Gaga, Tony Bennett segment, because there's a moment in there that will just crush you
in a good way.
It's some great journalism and very well put together, that first segment of 60 Minutes on Facebook.
Well, at one point during this 60 Minutes piece with Frances Haugen, she said, when we live in an information environment that is full of angry, hateful, polarizing content, it erodes our civic trust, it erodes our faith in each other, it erodes our ability to want to care for each other. The version of Facebook that exists today is tearing our societies apart and causing ethnic violence around the world.
And all true.
True. For the Facebook defenders in my timeline yesterday, but at least you got your dinner photos. And then 60 Minutes, Scott Pelley, right? Replied, ethnic violence, including Myanmar in 2018, when the military used Facebook to launch a genocide. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, there's obviously many other things on the hit list as far as Facebook's criminality and its awfulness. To me, that's got to be at the top. I mean, people murdered en masse because of Facebook.
There is blood on Facebook's hands, and the blood of democracy that's been shed over the last couple of years is also on Facebook's hands. Something has to happen. I'm wondering at what point, or have they already realized at Facebook, the jig is up. Between public opinion, likely congressional action, and maybe a little self-examination, I think things are going to change at Facebook. In the meantime, our best offense against that evil is a good defense.
You don't
have to go away. You don't have to disappear. You just had to put up that wall, and you've neutered Facebook.
Absolutely. And so I think there's a way to get this platform regulated so that all of the myriad downsides go away, or at least, you know, mitigated to a certain extent, and you can still have your dinner photos, and we can still promote our podcast, and that's
do,
that.
Do beware that progressives and alt-Rikers have very different ideas of how these social media platforms should be regulated.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Buzz. I was going through my news feed when Facebook came back up yesterday just to see what people were saying.
Right.
Did you get a flavor of what the reaction was on Facebook, on the platform? And it occurred to me that, we're hearing all these reports about how people are getting, you know, the algorithm is pumping all of this divisive information into their news feeds. And I'm looking at my news feed, and I swear to fucking God, my news feed, no matter what I do, it's two people come up on my news feed over and over again. At least the first, I don't know, dozen results that come up on my news feed. It's
algorithm is gonna get you. Algorithm is gonna get you.
But it's nothing like that. It's completely innocuous. It's my friend Josh Dobbin, who I think I've had on the show before. I think I had him on with Mark Ronick. We were talking about Star Wars one time on the show. And then furniture guy Joe Lorario. Both of those guys come up on my newsfeed, and every time I go to my newsfeed, it's the same two guys and the same several posts that they recently put up on Facebook.
And
the only way the only way I can get around it is to go to that one little menu that says new results or something like that. It says whatever the latest. You can change it to whatever the latest posts that your Facebook friends have posted.
I was Facebook messaging with a mutual friend of ours, and she sent me a photo that she had taken of her new sunglasses. And, you know, great. Those are really cool. And then I go back to my page, and guess what there's an ad for off to the side. Those sunglasses.
Oh, geez.
Was that a private conversation?
God damn.
Pro tip: there's an encoded form of communication.
Yeah.
On Facebook Messenger as well, you can send what they call secret messages that are encoded.
So ultimately, what we had yesterday was for about 5 hours, the entire world rejoicing and going, "Yay, no more Facebook!" And then suddenly the tweets come up, "Facebook is back," and everyone goes, "Oh man, that's so
colors got colors got duller, food didn't taste as good, and our anxiety levels rose again." That anger thing. We have a listener, by the way, in Ireland, who sent you and I via Twitter, tweeted to us a video you ought to look at. I'm still absorbing it. I need to go back and watch it again. But it talks a lot about how anger is contagious.
Yeah.
So be sure and look at it, Bob, because it's fascinating. I haven't made up my mind about the second half of the video, but the first half is credible and fascinating.
Yeah, anger and confirmation bias are commodities these days. That's what's being sold on the internet right now, at least in the political context. You know, that's
not
the thing.
It's not good for us.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
That's an understatement, but it's not.
All right, well, we've got a Buzz Burbank top 10 list coming up next. I can't wait. This is what's the top 10 category? We're gonna have that.
Let me see what the boys down in the lab say. The top 10 things William Shatner might say on his first actual trip to space.
All right, that and a whole lot more right after these words.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have, or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The Bob Seska Show.
Yeah, brand new to the show. This is Matt Springfield. And appropriate for October Halloween season. A song called Haunted. Yes, link in the description to support Matt. I love this song. Oh, yeah. It's going to be stuck in your head.
I fucking love this.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Ziggy Blue on our Patreon page gave this like an A++++. He's like, why isn't there Matt Springfield on the Indie Music Countdown this week? I said, well, it's next month, but I understand the urge to want to have this on every Indie Music Countdown, right?
I'm so glad there'll be a link to this song under the show description on today's posting on social media.
Absolutely. BobSeska.com. Just go to this episode at BobSeska.com and click on it, and then right there we have all the links to support all of our indie bands. And as I said, don't forget to listen to the Indie Music Countdown posted Sunday night. And of course, it's evergreen. You can listen to that anytime you want.
That's right.
Sure. Looking for some toe-tapping music to listen to in the morning as you're driving to work. That's a great way to do it. So, okay, let's do a top 10 list. How about it?
Original Star Trek actor William Shatner will take his first actual trip to space 1 week from today. His 11-minute mission to boldly go where no one that old has gone before. Now, especially at age 90, you never know what Shatner might say during that 11-minute flight until now, because here are the top 10 things William Shatner might say on his first actual trip to space.
Here we go.
Number 10, 11 minutes gets me back for the early bird special. Number 9, did these uniforms shrink? Number 8, I booked this trip on Priceline.
Ah, there it is.
Number 7, say, where's that hot mama Uhuru? Number 6, you know, The crew members in red won't make it back. Number five. A lot of people don't know this, but Scotty was usually high on dilithium crystals. Number four. Remember that time I was TJ Hooker? Number three. Suck it, Patrick Stewart. Number two. Fire photon torpedoes. And the number one thing William Shatner might say on his first trip to space... I have tribbles in my pants.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
Oh, man.
I just want to keep playing this music. Just a couple more minutes. Yeah, yeah.
The best.
This top 10 list dedicated to Mary Trump, our friend Mary Trump, fellow Star Trek fan Mary Trump. What do you think? All right. That was great. I'd never heard a dilithium crystals joke quite like that before. That was great. Yeah.
Dilithium crystal meth, I guess.
Yeah. That's something they never thought of on Breaking Bad. They should have given that to Badger, because Badger on Breaking Bad was a huge Star Trek fan, also a meth dealer. Why didn't they connect those two things? I don't know.
It's like one of those things you didn't include in your original tweet.
Hashtag math. Okay. Let's see what else here. So yeah, so Facebook is back up. It's a piece of shit. It's getting worse all the time. I mean, even the interface alone has gotten shittier over the years. It's like every time they release some sort of updated format for Facebook, it gets worse and worse and worse. It's like they justify their salary over there by monkeying with the layout of everything and where all of the features are, where the settings are. I think there's like 12 different ways to get to your Facebook settings on Facebook, and most of them are hidden in a strange way where you can't even find them. And
I think a lot of big tech does that. I think a lot of them are justifying their jobs by, well, maybe if we just move stuff around. You know,
You
know, just how about better reception on the phone? That would be good. Let's start there, maybe, kids.
I mean, for example, I have a profile page and I have a page for obviously for promoting this show. But now, because of the new version of Facebook, because of the new layout, what you have to do is you have to log out as yourself and log in as your identity for the page if you want to post over on the page too, which you never had to do before. You could just go to the page and post what you needed to post on the page.
And then share it with all of your other pages.
That's right.
But you can't do that. I noticed that as well. And I have four. I have Michael J. Elston. I have Buzz Burbank. I have... there's a Buzz Burbank fan club or something that I think was left in my hands.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think I have three Facebook pages and then one Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, you know, and they continually make it worse. And it does seem to be to justify their jobs. Well, look, it's better because we move things around.
And one of the things they do routinely at Facebook is they will throttle your reach. They will actually choke off the supply of your Facebook friends to your Facebook posts.
If the whole idea is engagement for profit, then what is their gain in suppressing anything?
Well, they probably don't want whatever it is you're posting in someone else's feeds or in your friends' feeds. That's my assumption. So, for example, if you're posting things that run contrary to what they're trying to push on the platform, then maybe they'll throttle your reach. Or if they think that you might be spamming or posting too often, they'll throttle your reach.
Yeah, the computers do that. I mean, rarely are human eyes on anything at Facebook, with a few exceptions, like today's whistleblower.
There are things that are happening over there that run completely contrary to the functioning of a democratic society, the functioning of a republic, the functioning of a civil society.
And it's sad because it started so innocently as a way to rate girls.
That's right.
I can't imagine how it would go off in a bad direction, Bob.
So shocking that Zuckerberg turned out to be a dickhole, huh? All right. Well, speaking of dickholes, Rudy Giuliani admitted under oath that his evidence of voter fraud in the 2020 election came from unvetted posts on Facebook and other social media platforms. Eric Coomer, he's the former Dominion Voting Systems employee, is suing the Trump campaign and others for defamation for promoting election fraud conspiracy theories that he helped rig the election for Joe Biden. According to an August 14th deposition, Giuliani admitted he got some of his information about Coomer's alleged role in the non-existent election fraud from social media, but wasn't sure if it was Facebook or another platform. Those social media posts get all one to me. What is this quote?
It's just, it's old man speak. Allow me to interpret.
Okay, thank you.
Those get all one to me. In other words, he mixes them up with each other.
Okay, gotcha. I could have sworn that was a typo, but yeah, those old man phrases sometimes look like typos, don't they?
Anytime you need old man speak translated, just see me.
Thank you so much. Well,
I can hear that. You might want to isolate that because that was the expression of frustration.
That's right. My version of Jody Hamilton going.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Enshrine that.
Meantime, Donald Trump asked a court to force Twitter to restore his social media account while his lawsuit against the social media giant continues. Yeah. Trump asked a federal district judge for a preliminary injunction, arguing that Twitter was censoring him by indefinitely banning him from the platform. Well, yeah, duh. I mean, I keep saying this. Yeah, you sign up.
Idea.
Exactly. When you sign up for Twitter, you agree to certain terms of service, and your agreement to that eliminates any wiggle room as far as, oh God, it was so unfair. They kicked me off and they were so mean to me. Why didn't they tell me? Well, no, you violated the terms of service, so you get kicked off like anyone else, for God's sake.
Rules. Yeah, Twitter has responded, not now, not even if you run for president again. And that is Twitter's response. Very gratifying to hear, and I hope the judge agrees.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I was thinking, too, going back to Facebook momentarily, about how Kimberly was so unceremoniously kicked off of Facebook. And it was a heartbreaking thing. And on top of the fact that it proved that they're not targeting exclusively conservatives, they're targeting liberal and conservative content that they think might be hinky.
That weirds me out because, again, the motive is profit. The idea is to promote things that provoke anger.
Right, right. Well,
regardless of what side.
Yeah, but the irony is, in the process of doing that, they're actually allowing a whole lot more conservative content. I mean, that's what we've been reading for the past couple of weeks, even. That
and the computer has taken that as a gauge of what people want.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look at the list of the top 10 most viewed page posts on Facebook, it's like, you know, Dan Bongino and Ben Shapiro the whole way down on the list. And that's the kind of content that's getting amplified to the point where Facebook actually made a deal with the Daily Wire platform and probably other platforms along those lines. The Daily Wire is, of course, Ben Shapiro's platform.
Right.
And made a deal with them saying, okay, well, yeah, you can post whatever the hell you want and it doesn't matter. Meantime, Kimberly Johnson gets kicked off of Facebook. Her entire Facebook page that she had curated for years and years and years built up a huge following on to the point where, God, if she had posted one of these podcasts or one of my articles on her page at that time, it would go through the roof. It was amazing because of her following that she had established. And overnight, like with a Thanos snap, disappeared, gone, no explanation. Well, no one there could give her any satisfaction as far as what happened or why.
Maybe Kimberly didn't come forward with as much cash as Ben Shapiro.
That's exactly right. That's the crux of the problem, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about where the money's coming from. And so they'll take money from whoever. It doesn't matter. They took rubles, for God's sake, in 2016. But at least we have our dinner photos.
And apparently, at the risk of losing smaller clients in that way, they would be happy to let those go in favor of the bigger clients like Ben Shapiro.
Yeah. Well, I know it's apples and oranges. We're talking about Facebook. We're talking about Twitter, two separate platforms. But when I see a story like this about Donald Trump begging people to force Twitter to restore his account, I think, you know, go fuck yourself. Because I look at Kimberly's circumstances where she wasn't able to get someone from tech support on the phone. She wasn't even able to get a real life human being on the phone to explain what the fuck happened to her page and will it ever be coming back.
Much of big tech is inaccessible. They don't have a phone number. And if they do, there's no human at the end of that that line.
And all she did was post the same content on her various pages. So if she had a new article that she was promoting that she had written on Liberals Unite or something like that, she'd post it on her profile and then several of her pages. And they kicked her off for spamming her own pages with her with her own content.
I think I actually suffered that briefly once. And they actually wiped out and never retrieved. Unfortunately, I have my own archive, but you know, I would post my newscast every week, and so my page served as an archive, and now it doesn't go back very far because at one point they purged it. Like I said, fortunately I have the material, but it's a little heartbreaking.
Right. Well, and if Twitter ever, or if some judge somewhere relents and lets Trump have his Twitter feed back after he launched an insurrection, I mean, that's why he got booted off of Twitter, because of the insurrection. So that means if Donald Trump ends up back on one of these social media platforms, it means it's okay if you want to start an insurrection, you'll just be banned for a year and then you'll be back. Even though some people, just because they cross-posted their things, get kicked off all the time.
And I don't think we're the only small businesses who do that, who count on that. And you'll get kicked off for spam if you do that. Sure.
Yeah. You know, and I mentioned Joe Lurario, one of the furniture guys, earlier. Yes. And his partner on that show, Ed Feldman, is kicked off of Facebook like every other day. It's like he's always in Facebook jail. He's got his own cell in Facebook jail. He's like, you know, the Goodfellas mobsters with their own private space where they're making pasta.
The good news is that jail now has much more comfortable benches.
Right. Well, and all he's doing is, you know, mean jokes about Republicans. I mean, that's basically Ed Feldman's entire Facebook
feed. And he's good at it.
Yeah, and he's very good at it. Absolutely. Okay, so meanwhile, actually, you know what? We're going to take a short break and come back and talk about COVID. Hey, how about that? How about something fun? All right, back with more show after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska.
Yeah, this is another brand new recording artist here on the show. This is Maddie and Jackie. MaddieandJackie.com. That's Maddie, two D's in there. They are sisters. They are singer-songwriters from Santa Cruz, California. This is their brand new single called I Dream of You. I love this. So great. They're just great singers. And I think we're going to be hearing more from them in the future. That's for sure. Really great pop song right here.
Love it.
Okay, link in the description, as always, to support Maddie and Jackie. All right.
We've said this to promote the Bob's Monthly Music Show, the Indie Music Countdown, but we could say it about this show, too, where we play the music. It's the best music you haven't heard yet. That really is the best way to describe it. So it's new to you, but it feels sort of familiar and very good.
Yeah.
I noticed today you're only playing songs that I like.
Well, you know, it's, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's very intimidating when you've got an indie music show. If you're an outside listener, you're tuning in for this podcast, for the Tuesday show, Wednesday show, Thursday show. And you go, well, what is this indie music crap? I don't know any of these songs. Why would I want to listen to that? Well,
exactly.
Here's the thing. You do want to listen to it, because I take a lot of time to specifically curate songs that I think you, as listeners of this show, will enjoy. And
he does a good job of it.
Yeah, yeah. I really, really try to you know, bring whatever minimal taste I have in music to the show and make sure I pick songs that will be appealing in some way, will sound familiar even though they're not familiar, if that makes any sense. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. The best music you haven't heard yet.
Absolutely. So let's see. Joe Rogan thinks that Joe Biden faked his booster shot. That's all I need to say about that. I just want to throw that out there because of the nonsense that's happening on that
show. Let me just add 22 million listeners.
And how much money? He's got all the money for this.
Yeah. I didn't go the horse-paced method. I got my my booster because I'm age qualified. I got Pfizer booster on Saturday along with my flu shot. And I'm sure there's no connection, but the only after effect I have felt since then is extreme energy and enthusiasm.
God,
no connection. I'm sure, just as you know, some of the other things you've heard are not connected. But yeah, I wasn't tired. I didn't get any symptoms. My arm was sore, and my wife hit me in that arm a couple of times. That's what she does. But no, I'm fine. I'm great.
Yeah. What vaccine was it again?
Pfizer.
Okay.
That's the one that's getting the boosters now for people of a certain age and people who have pre-existing conditions.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good because I also received the Pfizer vaccine back in the spring. And if I get a booster, I'm looking forward to the energy and exuberance, the energy and enthusiasm lacking right now.
The latest study I've seen shows that 6 months after your second Pfizer, you are still 90% immune.
Yes, I saw that today. Yeah. I was really relieved to see that. I mean,
that's good.
Immune from hospitalization and severe illness, I should underscore.
Yes, right. Thank you for clarifying that. But I think that I do see a light at the end of the tunnel here. These things, these variants especially, tend to run in 2 month cycles, and everything's on the downtrend now. New cases are down. I mean, they're still, hospitals are still full, make no mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're still dealing with the aftermath of that surge, but cases are down, hospitalizations are down, and deaths are down. It appears if flu doesn't complicate things, we could be seeing the end of this. Also, these pandemics tend to run in 2 year cycles, and that cycle will be up in the 1st of March of this coming year. So one way or another, I think we're on our way out of this. And of course, as always, that depends to some degree on our behavior.
Well, tomorrow on the Wednesday podcast this week, I'll be talking to the great Aaron Rupar, who returns to the show, and we're going to be talking about his new newsletter, aaronrupar.substack.com, which he's launching. I believe he's just launched it. I believe it's brand new. It's got that new newsletter smell, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And so he posted just now a screen grab from Fox News that says, Fauci uncancels Christmas. Fauci clarifies Christmas gathering comments. So obviously, being on the side of science and reality and facts, Fauci was saying, hey, look, you know, if we have another gigantic spike, we could end up in another lockdown over Christmas. And you don't want that, do you? I mean, it's obvious. Let's motivate some people to get some vaccinations here going on.
Right.
We don't have to have a lockdown over Christmas.
Santa Claus only comes if we're good boys and girls.
Right, right. But the whole notion of canceling the whole
That was dismissive. You know that?
I know. I'm sorry.
Entertainingly so.
Well, the whole notion of canceling Christmas is such horse shit. It's like the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer cartoon every year. If you believe that Rudolph chasing after the bumble and a giant snowstorm at the North Pole could literally cancel Christmas, you're not a very good Christian because... You know, look, if you fancy yourself as a good Christian person, as a good Christian American who loves God and loves the baby Jesus, then you know that it doesn't matter whether there's a tree and presents and all of that shit. Christmas is still Christmas. You still celebrate Christmas. You still celebrate the birth of Christ. That's what you do as a Christian. You cannot cancel the commemoration of that occasion. And so this is such nonsense coming from people like Marsha Blackburn, who think this is something that can actually be done.
And the spirit of giving can continue even with a supply chain shortage.
Yeah,
right. You still have that.
So tell me, do you know anything about this Florida Republican who wants to ban all vaccines for public schools? Well, do you know about this guy?
Yeah. Isn't that about 50% of the state? I don't know. No, I don't know of this specific individual.
My presumption is that just because you live in Florida, you know everything there is to know about Florida.
I know all the Floridians. I've met them all.
Well, he's this state senator named Manny Diaz, and he chairs the Senate Health Policy Committee in the Florida legislature. Right. And his proposal is to review school vaccine requirements for illnesses such as mumps and measles for the purposes of perhaps eliminating those mandates.
Right.
And it's something that I feel as though with the anti-vax sentiment certainly running rampant, viral through the Republican Party, that this could actually be a thing. I mean, we're talking about vaccines for diphtheria, the diptet vax, polio. We're talking about mumps, rubella, hepatitis B, all these things. They say, well, no, we don't need this crap, too. I mean, we can get rid of all these other ones as well as the COVID one.
I don't know how real the threat of that is, and we certainly shouldn't be surprised that it exists.
Yeah.
We have to get a handle on disinformation, and the first steps to that, we saw a glimpse of it yesterday with the Facebook outage. Mm-hmm. Seeing an outage at Fox would be equally gratifying.
Yeah.
Seeing the lights go out at Fox for good, or it being forced to become something else, would be better.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what could possibly be done along those lines. What kind of law would need to be passed to make that sort of thing happen?
Well, number one, outlaw disinformation that potentially harms the public good, that has the means to harm the public good.
Yeah.
Public safety, make that part of it. That should be prohibited by left, right, anybody. That's a rule that should apply to anyone. Mm-hmm. You cannot disseminate false information that endangers people in any way, whether it's through violence or disease.
Yeah. And I wonder if there needs to be, and I'm sure you could find this out. I'm sure there's a way to figure out what a piece of the, what chain link in the Fox News empire would need to be targeted where Fox News is somehow exploiting the public commons in order to deliver this disinformation, in order to commit this fraud. Because you remember, we've talked about this before, like with the 21 game show, the whole notion of that show being fraudulent, perpetrating this scam on viewers, was that 21 was being broadcast over public airwaves. And so therefore, it made it in the public interest to not commit fraud against the people whose airwaves were being used to broadcast the show. So you know what I mean?
Simply amend the communications law to include all public media.
Yeah.
Publicly accessible media.
What I'm getting at is, in what way is Fox using public resources to deliver this disinformation? That's the question I have. And there's got to be some step along the line. I mean, as far as broadcasting over the internet, which is now mostly what cable is. We don't have cable anymore, at least in our house, at least where we live. Here. It's all internet, essentially.
Right.
So what stage in that broadcast or that cable cast, internet cast, netcast process uses public resources in order to deliver that signal to viewers of Fox News Channel? That you could say, okay, well, Fox News is using that public resource to deliver this fraudulent information to the people who are actually own that those resources, you know what I mean?
And they can be denied access to those resources if they break the rules. The rules could include requiring a disclaimer at the bottom of the screen that when Tucker Carlson is on, it should be clearly labeled news. I'm sorry, it should be clearly labeled opinion and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And news programming should be labeled as news. Entertainment and opinion programming should be labeled as what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that I can't profess to have all the answers, but I'm sure that we're not without ideas about how we can regulate and outlaw disinformation.
Yeah.
Any information that harms the public It should be prohibited, just like yelling falsely fire in a public theater.
How do we avoid the blowback of something like that, where suddenly the same thing that we use to go after Fox News is co-opted and used to go after, I don't know, shows like the Bob Seska Show? You know what I mean? Right. What I get concerned about is and I'm not, I absolutely agree with you. I think this is something, this is a move that needs to be done in some way. I don't know what that system is yet. But what I don't want to happen is for there to be a backlash that some of the good shit. It's sort of like Stephanie Miller when she discusses boycotts against advertisers who advertise on AM talk radio. Because what happens is, you know, in the process of boycotting, say, the advertisers on Sean Hannity's radio show,
right?
Those advertisers pull out of radio entirely, which then affects Stephanie Miller's show or Tom Hartman's show or Randy Rhoads' show, which makes, is also broadcast on AM.
Makes everybody toxic.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you thread that needle is the question that I have.
It's a marketing problem I don't have an answer to, frankly. Yeah, yeah. But I can see how, you know, and there, anytime you have regulations, there's potential for misuse. And I'm sure there are wiser minds than my own to develop these policies. I'm just spitballing here with ideas about how we might regulate and stop the spread of disinformation, because Fox News knows what psychologists know, and that is that anger is contagious, that emotion is contagious. So when Tucker Carlson is ranting, it makes other Americans rant as well. This is not healthy for our society.
Yeah, yeah. It's all confirmation bias, and Roger Ailes saw this this demographic and said, well, you know what? No one's tapped into that demographic yet. Let's try for those people. And that's Fox News Channel, the centerpiece of our problem here.
And the anger and the yelling in the minds of viewers, it fires up adrenaline, cortisone, and even the pleasurable endorphins in your brain whenever this anger spreads from one mind to another. So a viewer, the anger that Tucker Carlson is having or pretending to have is infectious and infects the viewers with that same anger, creating an angrier world, making dialogue more difficult. And psychologists know this, Fox News knows this, and they are capitalizing on emotion for cash the same way Facebook is capitalizing on emotion for cash. There has to be a way to regulate that and make it stop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And between the content itself and the chemical reaction of the viewers who absorb that content 24/7. I mean, make no mistake, the real diehards are watching all day long. They're dedicated to this stuff. They're listening to the radio shows as they go to sleep at night. Between the chemical reaction, between the content itself, it's turning otherwise reasonable, intelligent people into fucking monsters. And that, I don't know how we survive that. I don't know how we bottle that, if we do at all. It's confounding to me the process that needs to take place to get to the point where it's no longer a thing.
I think we're seeing a how-to from the Facebook whistleblower. Step one, call them out for it and bring evidence. And the evidence exists against Fox, absolutely.
Yeah.
They need to be called out for the fraud that they're committing more clearly, and then that needs to be followed up with regulation.
Yeah,
and I said there are wiser minds than ours to determine what those regulations should be, but I sketched out a couple of starting points.
I mean, I guess if you could change Facebook and all of its popularity, its gigantic, massive, unprecedented user base, into basically the sad mall, you know, the shitty mall that's in every town that there's like two stores in it. One of the stores is a Spirit Halloween, going back to that. And all the rest of the stores are boarded up. That's, I mean, you want to turn Facebook into that. I mean, it's already kind of there. It's kind of already the sad mall in a way.
Your best offense is a good defense. Tighten up your security on all platforms and you win.
Yeah, exactly. But I think if you can take something that was super massive like Facebook, turn it into the sad mall, I think it's possible to turn Fox News into the sad mall too.
Yes, yes. We must do that and regulate it just as we must do that to Facebook and regulate it. Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. So obviously these are ongoing questions that we will continue to ponder here in the show, see if we can come up with solutions to them. And obviously we welcome all of your comments on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show, where we're getting ready to do our Shadow Docket podcast for today.
Shadow Docket.
I have all the elements. I'm happy to say.
He has the elements.
I have the elements. They're prepared, ready to roll.
Anyway, the Shadow Docket is up next. And how about a big hand for Bob's editing today? Great editing on the show, Bob. So thank you for that.
You know, there's less editing than you would think. I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah, coming up on the Shadow Docket, a little bit of Trump news. I want to get your take on Trump v. DeSantis, which is what we're going to be running up against in a year or two. Steve Bannon still talking about armed conflict. We'll get into that on the Shadow Docket program.
Yes, please.
Plus a little bit more about secession. We saw this poll number last week. 52% of Trump voters support secession. And you know what they are? They are unpatriotic and they are quitters. No two ways about it. Anyone who supports secession is a quitter and unpatriotic.
Yeah. You forgot dumb. Really, really dumb.
Dumb, yeah. That's an important part, important component. Plus, Kyrsten Sinema was accosted in a bathroom yesterday. I want to talk about that briefly and a whole lot more. Again, that is the Shadow Docket program. If you sign up for $5 a month on our Patreon page, bobsuskashow.com, you get two Shadow Docket shows every week after the Tuesday show and after the Thursday show. It's just like, and if you sign up at $15 a month, by the way, $15 a month, commercial-free version of this show, plus the Shadow Docket, all in one podcast for you. Again, that's bobsuskashow.com. Yep.
And we do not sell your information.
Okay. Bye-bye.